Welcome to the Resilience Movement Podcast. I'm your host, Anna Maltz. And well, hasn't it been a while? Apologies, life's gotten a bit distracting over the past 2.5 years. But here I am. I wanted to bring you this podcast based on a personal experience, but this personal experience is happening to a lot of people around Australia, probably around the world. So I wanted to share with you my experience in the hope that I can give someone a few tools and also the courage to challenge what's happening right now. So grab yourself a cuppa, fold the laundry, listen in the car, whatever you're doing. I hope that you do get something from this podcast. So let me go back to it's nearly 2.5 years ago, but my daughter and I and my grandson, who has special needs, my grandson has ASD level 3, so started out as nonverbal autism. We moved into this beautiful house in a suburb in Canberra, and this house was a stepping stone for us to be able to get my grandson settled and also have some more stability for my daughter after she'd been through a very difficult time. So we moved into this house and loved the house. And I guess fast forward a few months, there were some maintenance issues that needed to be taken care of and some other things that need to be taken care of. So we had done the right thing and reported these, and some things got fixed, some things didn't get fixed, some things weren't important to the landlord and other things were. Anyway, we were quite happy living there. The landlord would turn up whenever he liked, which was a bit of a pain, but we talked to him about that. Let's fast forward to 2021, where I'd had enough of our ceiling in the lounge room looking like, I don't know, we lived in some derelict house because it was mouldy and the ceiling was sagging. And anyway, I'd had enough, and I paid some tradesmen to come in and replace the gyprock after the landlord had stated that he'd sealed the balcony upstairs, which was the problem. The balcony was leaking into the lounge room downstairs, and this was causing, one, us to have to put a bucket on the floor when we had torrential rain, and also the fact that it was mouldy. And you're talking like 2 metres long, like it was the length of the lounge room. This is not just a small leak. This was quite significant. And other things had happened because of those leaks, and, you know, near where my office was, it had another leak, and specifically in the main bathroom. It had been leaking for a while because the heat lights had actually started to fall out of the ceiling. So I'm not exaggerating this. This is actually quite real. Now I look back at it and I kind of wonder why he wouldn't want to fix these things straight away. But anyway, there was different things that we'd also fixed just because we wanted to look after the property like it was our own. We lived there. We loved it there. And, you know, so there were door handles that wear and tear, and we fixed those. And anyway, by November last year, 2022, we had to ask the landlord to remove the heat light. It was a light, heat light and fan out of the bathroom, because this could have fallen down and certainly would have severely injured my grandson and would have injured my daughter had the light fallen down. So we asked him to come and remove it, to which he had an electrician come and remove it. And that was in early November 2022. And as we stand today, it's the 27th of March 2023, and there's still a gaping hole in our ceiling, and we've requested that this be repaired many times. But I'll go back a step. So in December, we requested that the landlord finish the maintenance, and he told us that in February he was going to increase the rent again. And I know a bit about the legislation. I also know that we have a housing crisis right now, and the housing crisis is causing people to have to move because landlords need to put up the rent. And, you know, I've been a homeowner too, so I understand interest rates going up and expenses going up, and we were very fair and reasonable and said, we understand and we're more than happy to pay another rental increase. However, we need you to finish the maintenance, and we thought that that was a fair request. And I didn't hear back from the landlord, but on the 30th of January this year, we received a new lease, and the lease commenced on the 1st of February. And that was fine, but the rental increase was in there. And I said on the 7th of February, he emailed me and said, I must have forgotten to pay the rent or change my bank details or whatever. And I wrote back to him and I said, well, first of all, you have to give us 8 weeks' notice. And we did state that we would be more than happy to pay the rental increase as long as the maintenance is fixed. Keeping in mind, we have a gaping hole in our bathroom. We can't use the bathroom at night because there's no light. And we're paying a significant amount of money for this house. So the house was going up, but the ability to use all the services in the house or the facilities in the house was declining. So we were a bit frustrated. And anyway, at this point when I emailed the landlord back, it was like he went from zero to 100 in 5 seconds. And we went from me explaining that as of the 1st of the 3rd, which is when I'll pay the rental increase, that's 12 months' time. And as per the ACT legislation, the ACT Tenancy Act, a landlord cannot put the rent up twice in one annual period or 1 year without the tenant's consent, and we did not consent until the maintenance was done. And in a heartbeat, I'm talking 5 minutes, he's gone, you need to get out. And so we've gone from trying to negotiate to get a bathroom fixed to now being told that we have to leave. And I understand this is happening to a lot of people. And I can tell you I went into this rage. One of my nicknames is Mummy Lion, and you have basically threatened the safety and security of not only my daughter but my grandson. And those of you who have followed me on Facebook, you'll see that I do Tristan updates all the time, and this little champion of a boy who's now 7 years old has just come so far with his verbally, sign language. He's going to school now. The school comes and picks him up. His speech therapy is going well. He's very settled, as is my daughter. So I've gone back to him and I said, you can't do this. And anyway, fast forward a couple of days, we've decided to put in an application for mediation at the at ACAT, which in the ACT is the Civil Administrative Tribunal. And knowing that when I put that application in, there's nothing that he can do, he can't evict us, he can't do anything, we got some legal advice. I've taken time off work. I've had to organise paperwork, which you have to submit personally. As I said, we went and got some legal advice. I'm not a silly person. I know how to read the legislation. So anyway, we have put in our application, photos, supporting evidence, The landlord has commended us over the years on how well we've looked after his property, the yard, the inside, all of that. And so here's this person now telling us that, oh, he's in financial hardship and he's going to have to sell, which we know is not the truth, but people can say whatever they like. So we have been fighting this, and I have to say, we have gone to ACAT. We had to go to ACAT twice. One, because he put in an interim application to have us evicted, which was dismissed because he doesn't know how to fill out the paperwork. He doesn't know how to do the right thing. But he also, and this is the bit that really got me the most, is the dishonest way in which he did this, and how he can sit in an ACAT hearing and blatantly lie to say that he's, because the interest rate rises, he needs to increase the rent, but now he's going to sell because it's become unaffordable, blah, blah, blah. So anyway, we have all our evidence. I'm someone who's very logical, and I go with fact, and we had the facts. And anyway, he had not done the right thing, so the first one got dismissed. Then we had our mediation, to where, again, he doesn't tell the truth, and he changes his story so often that they can see through him anyway. So we came out of the first hearing, and it, whilst it got dismissed, my daughter and I sat down and had a discussion and said, you know, even if we do win, do we want to stay there? Do we want to stay in this house? Do we want to surround ourselves with this kind of person? And here's the difference for me. To be evicted from a house for no reason, to be evicted from a house because of greed, which is all it was, I guarantee you in a few weeks' time when we're out of the property and he advertises it again, he'll advertise it for $800 to $850, if not $900, because he's that kind of greedy. And that's all he wanted to do. And I'll just take you back to the Wednesday when we went to the first hearing and it got dismissed. He turns up at the property again unannounced. He did this often, and tries to issue us with a notice to vacate, to which was a defective notice again, because he just doesn't know how to do that. And I was so angry. And I told him that he was a disgusting human. And I told him that his greed and his lies were so inappropriate, considering how we've looked after his property. And it was more, I remember saying, like, how can you do this to my daughter and my grandson? Like, how can you consciously do this? You know, and then I have to realise that some people don't have a conscience, and sometimes it is about money for them. So I've experienced that over the years. And so anyway, what we did was, excuse me, what we did was we took control. And whilst it wasn't the best situation, we wanted to try and make the best of it for us. So we applied for a new house. And so for the next couple of years, we're going to rent until we can purchase something, if that's possible. And we have applied for another house, and we have a good rental record. And at the end of the day, we've been there for the last 2.5 years, so just under 2.5 years. And so we had to put our landlord down as a reference, because that's who we've rented with, which we did that. And we also put other people down. But what we did was we explained to the real estate, we're going through a real estate this time, and we explained to them exactly what happened. We were very transparent, very upfront, and we explained that in our application. We explained it personally when we went and viewed the property. And for me, I'm happy now to a degree, because my daughter's happy and I know that my grandson will be happy. And it's, we're moving into a nice house. We're not too far from where we were. This won't change his ability to be picked up for school. All of those things, which is what we needed to ensure that Tristan wasn't going to be as disrupted. We're allowed to have his therapy dog. All of these things came into play. And in fact, the day we went to the hearing, the mediation, sorry, which was the second one, we walked out of, so, oh, sorry, let me just step back a bit. We started the day with my daughter going for her PEAS test, which has taken her 2 years to feel like she was ready. And as much as we all laughed about this, and not laughed at her, but, you know, she'll be ready when she's ready, and she laughed about the fact that she's now 30 years of age and she's gone to get her PEAS, and, you know, this was just another step in the direction of her independence. So, you know, 7:45 that morning, we had to go to mediation. At 10:30, she went and got her PEAS. She was successful in that test, so that was a positive thing. We went to the mediation. Again, we have taken control. We've decided to move out. We know that he can't evict us because he doesn't have valid reasons to evict us, and the legislation should support us. Now, keeping in mind, I know there's a lot of people who don't understand how the legislation works, who would be not have the support that they need and don't know where to start and feel like they just have to go. So we knew our rights. We knew what we had to do. Still very stressful nonetheless. This was a very difficult time. But we walked out of mediation with compensation. So at the end of the day, we are in a much better position to take on a new house. I will get the money back that I have spent on the house, and we don't have to go to a hearing, which we were prepared to do because we have all the evidence to support us. But I think the landlord was advised that going to a hearing is probably not in their best interest. The landlord couldn't even get his head around the fact that it's unreasonable for us to be living in a house paying full rent when we can't even utilize a bathroom, and insulation falling onto the floor, which is a risk for my grandson. It was just, yeah, it was just something that shouldn't have happened. And he wants to claim that the, you know, house needs to be vacant for it to be fixed and rah, rah, rah. And it was just a whole lot of rubbish, which really leaves a bad taste in your mouth because you know that he's just doing the wrong thing. So anyway, fast forward, Stephanie got her PEAS, we won in mediation, and then we walked out of mediation to know that we got the house. So we will be moving in the next few weeks, and we will set up and we will put this all behind us. And, you know, the housing crisis is a real crisis right now, and there's people living in tents and there's people who can't find accommodation and it's not affordable. Yes, we're in a very lucky position. We share the rent, so it makes it more affordable. But not everyone is in that position. So it's interesting when you know something's going on in your community, in Australia, across the world really, especially since the pandemic and the interest rate rises and how this has had a significant effect on people in Australia. And, so I just want you to know that if you're going through this right now, get legal advice. You can go to legal aid. If you're being evicted, you can get some advice free of charge to initially start with. But if you've got the facts, if you've not done anything wrong, if you know that this is, you're being treated unfairly, find the courage to fight for yourself, advocate for yourself, help someone else advocate for themselves. I know I would do that. And stay safe and remember that you do have rights. And to be resilient is to be able to pull yourself out of the chaos and the stress and be reflective on what can I do, what do I have control of. And Stephanie and I found ourselves talking about this a lot, you know, what don't we have control of, What don't we want to put up with, and protect ourselves and make decisions and take back some control. And that's exactly what we did. So thanks for listening to this podcast on resilience and real world issues that are happening, especially here in Australia. And take care, and I will do another podcast very soon. Thank you. Thank you.